This is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Stephanie Officer. In Harvey Weinstein's retrial in New York, the judge received a letter from the jury foreperson today that said, quote, "I need to talk to you about a situation that isn't very good." Weinstein has pleaded not guilty to all charges, ABC's Aaron Katursky.
After sending that note to the judge, he brought in the foreperson who told the judge that jurors were attacking one another and bringing up Harvey Weinstein's past. The judge brought all the jurors together, said they needed to be cordial and only discuss the evidence. They'll be back for a fourth day of deliberations in Harvey Weinstein's sex crimes retrial.
A Connecticut judge has settled a bitter feud over the estate of the late blues guitarist Johnny Winter, ordering his managers to pay $226,000 in damages for improper payments they received after his 2014 death and rejecting their claim to the rights to his music. This is ABC News. Attorneys for Blake Lively say a federal judge's decision to dismiss a $400 million lawsuit from her It Ends With Us co-star Justin Baldoni is, quote, a total victory and complete vindication for the actress. ABC's Jacqueline Lee reports from Los Angeles.
The judge saying any alleged actions don't constitute civil extortion. The judge saying California law of civil extortion is when a plaintiff gives a defendant money or property under threat and tries to get it returned. So the court actually said what Lively did was legally permissible hard bargaining or renegotiation of working conditions. So that's why that got thrown out.
Ukraine's Air Force said it intercepted almost 300 drones and missiles launched by Russia in the biggest overnight drone bombardment of the war. Ukraine claims only 10 drones or missiles hit their targets in Ukraine. Officials said one person was injured. This as the two countries took part in a prisoner exchange agreed on during peace talks last week. I'm Stephanie Officer, ABC News.
I'm still going for it, even with higher stroke risk from atrial fibrillation and a regular heartbeat not caused by a heart valve problem. Over a 3-year study, Eliquis apixaban tablets reduced stroke risk better than warfarin. And over 97% of Eliquis patients did not experience a stroke. A first stroke occurred in 2.9% of warfarin patients versus 2.3% of Eliquis patients.
Don't stop taking prescription Eliquis without asking your doctor. It may increase your stroke risk. Eliquis can cause serious and in rare cases fatal bleeding. Don't take Eliquis if you have an artificial heart valve, abnormal bleeding, or antiphospholipid syndrome. While taking, you may bruise more easily or take longer for bleeding to stop. A spinal injection while on Eliquis increases risk of blood clots, which may cause paralysis, the inability to move. Get medical help right away for unexpected bleeding, unusual bruising, or tingling, numbness, or muscle weakness. Medications such as aspirin products, NSAIDs, SSRIs, SNRIs, and blood thinners may increase bleeding risk. Tell your doctor about all planned medical or dental procedures. Learn more at Eliquis.com or call 1-855-ELIQUIS.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Brewers baseball tonight. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports, where the Brewers open a series against the Atlanta Braves in Milwaukee. The crew losing a close one yesterday, 1-0 to the San Diego Padres. Freddie Peralta allowed just one hit, no runs, through 6 innings, 90 pitches, and thought about going back out in the 7th.
For 1 second, I was thinking about it to come back, but same time, we took the decision that it was good enough for the day and just to bring somebody else.
So Rob Zastrzynski took over in the 7th, and Manny Machado knocked one out of the park on him. That was the ball game. Brewers manager Pat Murphy.
I mean, it was a decision that, you know, we had to talk to Freddie first, see how he felt. He was out of gas. Could we have pushed him into it? I'm sure he would have done it for us. But you don't do that this time of the year.
NFL. The Packers have decided to release defensive back Jaire Alexander. The team asking Alexander to take a pay cut, in part because he's missed half the games the last 2 seasons. The defensive back was scheduled to make $17 million this season. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Not sure if Steve Carell has big feet, but his shoes will be tough to fill. No one knows that more than Domhnall Gleeson, who will play the boss on a new spinoff of NBC's The Office. The Paper will feature the same documentary film crew from The Office, even though it was never really featured, as they record the daily happenings of a dying local newspaper, and it will be brought to you by the same team that brought you the American version of The Office. Gleason, the son of actor Brendan Gleason, knows the challenges he faces. The actor said he recently received encouraging words from Carell's Office co-star, John Krasinski, who reassured the actor that he was in great hands with executive producer Greg Daniels. Daniels successfully rebooted Ricky Gervais and Stephen Merchant's show of the same title from the UK. Although the title is different, the challenges faced in the paper are the same faced by those who ran a fictitious paper company. There is no release date yet, but the paper will premiere in September on Peacock. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. An isolated shower or two this evening, then a clearing sky tonight, and a low in the mid-50s. For tomorrow, hazy sunshine from a little smoke, warmer, highs into the low 80s. Chances for showers and thunderstorms return Wednesday into Thursday. Currently at 64 degrees.
Todd Alba.
Hey everybody, join us next time as we take a look at the fast-paced headlines across the nation and state. And a lighter note, Brian Van Hooker from Cracked.com will be here. Join us.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays 2 to 4. Eagle 1490 AM.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
It's a good day to be indigenous. Get up,
stand up. They are going to become more brutal.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade. Hey, Kanye Weed, all my friends and relatives in four directions, you are listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot. Hey, we discuss local, national, Native news and events, and as you know, Hinu, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Yes, you are right, Jaji. This portion of the show is supported by Native Roots Trading Post. Shop now at causecart.shop. and search Native Roots to find your resist gear. And Pini Gigi for all your support.
Yes, the fair's coming up and we're getting ready for that. I saw that you're making candles there, some sacred candles there.
Yeah.
I'm excited. And you already have those mists too. So you're going to be marketing the same flavor as we say in TV land.
Yes, I'm so excited to bring those scents to the candles. Sold out the mist twice during the fair last year, so that was a good problem to have. Was up late after those 12-hour days at the fair, you know, creating more of those, and just really appreciate that people enjoy them as much as I loved creating them. And I'm going to do a facial mist this year, and I'm also going to do what, by popular demand, the insect repellent.
Yeah, definitely. Hey, let's touch a little bit about the news here. A Minnesota House votes to strip healthcare from adult undocumented immigrants. Last time I heard, Jaleesa, everyone's not from here except Native Americans. So this is really a heart-wrenching thing that our local government here in Minnesota is doing.
Yeah, it's absolutely devastating. I don't know where people forgot their ancestral background in terms of, you know, everybody at one point was an immigrant besides us, you know, or besides our indigenous lineage from here. So I don't quite get that disconnect, you know, the whole, everybody should go back where they came from. Okay, well, that would be everybody but us.
I know. And it's going to affect more than 20,000 of our relatives. Democrats, of course, oppose the move and accused Republicans of leaving immigrants out to die, which seems to be the Republicans' stand on everything here lately. And that's a sad thing, you know, especially with, you know, we have the richest man in the world who's cutting programs, who was cutting programs, and that are basically killing people across the world. And Bill Gates mentioned that. And so we're here and we just want to expose things like that. And and talk about things in a good way. So it's really a hard situation, Jaleesa. And but we all have to put some tobacco out and pray for our relatives that this nightmare ends soon. Also nationally now, the Marines are being deployed in LA in response to the immigration protests. And really, they were ICE protests. So step one was bring the ICE people in. Then local people protested it. And then Trump didn't like that, so then he brought in the National Guard and took over the National Guard from the governor. And the governor's upset because the locals were taking care of it, this peaceful protesting. And again, we're warriors of that. We started this radio show because of Standing Rock, Jaleesa.
That's right. That's right. What we all witnessed, you know, you and I both were out there many times, and that was a push in the right direction to make a stand and what we could do at that point. And it's just amazing to see what you've done and taken off with this show, and to bring on people that really are passionate about their different expertise in the Native community.
Wow. Great way to put it. Hey, we're going to have our friend on next segment, Nancy Bolio, and we haven't talked to Nancy in a long time, and we're going to get an update of what she's been doing. But she's one of those original water protectors that stayed at Standing Rock and really brought her commitment to I wanted to say protesting, but a commitment to clean water here in Minnesota. And she's been a advocate, water protector for a long time. So it'd be great to get an update from her. We haven't talked to her in a while. And later on in the show, we'll have Dr. Stately. Dr. Stately now is stuck in traffic, but hopefully he'll be able to jump on and we can talk. But it's great to have you on. I'm so proud of you and the things that you've done. And, you know, you have a couple degrees, you're working in the field, you're a counselor. My buttons are bursting, and you're acting too. And now you're a radio host. Yeah,
thanks to you. I mean, any type of, I guess, public speaking or advocacy or creative outlets, I think I get a lot of that from you. So thank you for that.
And we don't know who we get it or I get it from, but we get it down the line somewhere in some sacred chief. Hey, you know, we got a couple minutes here. Why don't we take a listen to Governor Tony Evers, and he has our weekly report with us. Let's take a quick listen. Do you mind?
Let's do it. That's great.
All right, let's do it. Hey, from the great state of Wisconsin, Governor Tony Evers.
LGBTQ plus community.
Well, let's try that again. Let's see.
This year marks,
you know, I'm new at this, so let's take it from the top here.
Hey there, Native Roots Radio. Governor Tony Evers here with my weekly update. I'm jazzed to once again kick off Pride Month in Wisconsin and celebrate our incredible LGBTQ plus community. This year marks our 7th annual Pride celebration, and while we all look forward to Pride Month and raising the Pride flag above the Capitol every year, this year we're celebrating the 10th anniversary of the landmark Supreme Court decision legalizing same-sex marriage in Wisconsin and in America. So today and this June, we're celebrating 10 years of visibility, 10 years of love, and 10 years of continued bravery, activism, and advocacy together. Folks, when the Pride flag flies above the People's House, it sends a clear and unequivocal message that Wisconsin recognizes and celebrates LGBTQ Wisconsinites and Americans. Wisconsin has always led the way in the fight for LGBTQ liberty and equality. We sure as heck are not going to turn back now. In a state, we only know one direction to go, and that's forward. So we will not be silent. We will not be quiet. We will fight not just to protect the rights and freedoms that so many fought hard to secure, but for all those that are still long overdue. Every day, but especially this month, we reaffirm our commitment to striving to be a place where every LGBTQ kid, person, and family can be bold in their truth and be safe,
treated with dignity and respect, and welcomed without fear of persecution, judgment, or discrimination, period. I promised long ago that as governor, I would always fight to protect LGBTQ Wisconsinites with every tool and every power I have. I'll never stop keeping that promise. So you know that no matter who you are, what you believe, who you love, or how you express your truest, most authentic self, you are a family here. You belong here. You are welcome home here. So thank you and happy Pride, Wisconsin.
Thanks for listening. Back to you, Robert, and Native Roots Radio.
Thank you, Governor Evers. It's always good to have an update. And thank goodness Wisconsin has Governor Evers, so he can veto those ugly bills that come out of there. And really, it's great that we have this partnership and are able to play his words on our show. Hey, I'm excited, Jaleesa. We're going to have our friend Nancy Bolio up next. And geez, I don't know what she's been up to. And again, I just texted her just before the show and said, hey, can you come on? Dr. Stately stuck in the traffic. But it'll be great to hear an update. And I know, again, it's awesome to have her on. So, hey, this is Native Roots Radio, and we're going to take a quick break. Stay with us. Right on.
The city of Minneapolis is now on Native Roots Radio with Minneapolis AIR. AIR stands for American Indian Relations. Guest host Christine McDonald talks to people about important things affecting the city's Native communities. Minneapolis AIR dives into topics like public safety, public health, elections, and so much more. Tune in to Minneapolis AIR on Native Roots Radio from 5 to 6 p.m. on the second Wednesday of every month, right here on AM 950.
Your heart beats for generations.
Your heart is so many things. It beats all the time, and it works very hard to keep you moving through your day, keeping your thoughts clear. It's the most important organ in your body.
Every beat of your heart tells a story of love, resilience, and hope. Taking care of your heart means creating more moments with the ones you cherish. Learn more at hennepin.us/heart-beats. That's hennepin.us/heart-beats.
Support for Native Roots Radio comes from the Walker Art Center, an art space that's more than the spoon and cherry. Galleries celebrate contemporary visual art, including indigenous artists like Edgar Heap of Birds, Cheyenne and Arapaho Nation, and Jim Demeny, Ojibwe. Additionally, films screen in the cinema and performances are shown on stage. Free every Thursday night and free every day for members and citizens of tribal nations. Learn more at walkerart.org. Again, that's walkerart.org.
Do you have a personal financial goal like buying a car, starting a business, saving for college, or investing for retirement? Whatever your goal is, you need a plan. It might seem overwhelming, but like physical fitness, you can gradually improve your financial health step by step. Start by creating a spending plan, improving your credit score, opening a bank account, or finding a trusted advisor. Not sure where to start? Visit mn.gov/commerce/money for more.
Oh-ho! This is Dallas Goldtooth, and you're listening to the Native Roots Radio. Hoka Hicha Wicha.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Native American Community Clinic on Franklin Avenue in Minneapolis, honoring health and tradition.
Yes, they do. Hey, this is our friend Nancy Bolio, and we haven't seen Nancy in a long time. Welcome back to Native Roots Radio, and thanks for coming on this short notice. Ho-wa.
Yeah, well, miigwech for the last minute invite, and it's always a good place to be. And Robert, I'm still here, and it's a good feeling to be back in this space. And I'm actually looking forward to actually doing the good work again. It's been a couple years. You know, I was formerly of Minnesota 350. For the listeners that don't know, one of the leads in the Line 3 pipeline fight. And, you know, one of the good things that came out of that was we won that treaty case, and that treaty case proved to the state of Minnesota that they lack subject matter jurisdiction over the Anishinaabe protecting their natural resources on or off the res. that's off the res, and that's really key to us Anishinaabe people, in a sense that under the current administration, there's going to be some assaults on our natural environments, and as Native peoples, we need to be ready for that, and we can't just sit here and coddle ourselves in our comfort zones, and we really need to put ourselves out there. So it's like an opportunity in this moment to have the opportunity, you know, the space to come back and do the good work. So I'm a co-founder of a new org.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. And let's hear the name.
Indaji Onji Anishinaabe We Young. And it translates to where the Anishinaabe go to be themselves. So, you know, winning that court case on line three actually set a precedence for, you know, the Anishinaabe to protect our natural resources throughout the state of Minnesota. And it actually sets a precedence for all Native relatives to protect their natural resources across Turtle Island. And we hope people will take that lead and say, hey, we want to do that too. So just 2 years ago, there was this maple tree forest that was scheduled to be logged out. So we went in and we sugar bushed without a permit. And we occupied in that space in a good way. And I remember the DNR asking us that day, are you here to protest and get a citation? So they want us to look bad from the beginning. And my response was, no, we're just Anishinaabe in a sugar bush. And that's not a crime. And that's what we need to focus on is, you know, putting ourselves back out there again and asserting our right to be there, even in those ceded territories. So we did save the forest from being logged out. So it was a win. And under the current administration, we feel that we might have to go back out and protect some of our forest and some of our waterways. And I'm really glad that we didn't take the agreement with the state, the settlement, to surrender those treaty rights. Had we had done that, there would have been no saving that sugar bush or moving forward with the work that we're going to do in our org. So our org translates to where the Anishinaabe go to be themselves. Again, we're going to assert ourselves in our own environment and be who we are, Anishinaabe.
That's awesome. And it's great to see you're back at your work. And, you know, I for people that haven't or don't know you, we should talk a little bit about how you and I got to know. And I see that you have a patch on that you were going to send me in the mail a few years ago. Oh, wow. Yeah. Yeah. Hey, so talk a little bit about how you how you got your start, kind of. And it's kind of parallel how this show started.
Well, I guess, you know, going to Standing Rock was, you know, my awakening. And, you know, and it's crazy because when I was there, I was telling everybody, we're not here just to protect our water. We're here to protect our democracy, because if we can't use our voices and say no, there's obviously a problem with that democracy or our sovereignty as Anishinaabe people. So, you know, I brought that fire home. And then 350 reached out to me and said, hey, do you want to work? And then I met this awesome guy named Robert Pilot, and he asked me to come on the show. And through the show, on why treaties matter and that we're all treaty people. And just recently, I think it was about 2 months ago, Andy Pearson invited me to do a presentation at the University of Minnesota to the sustainability students. And it's a little treaty 101. And what we do is we teach our non-Native people that they too are treaty people, because again, our history books are written by the oppressor, and it doesn't define how, you know, people are treaty people, not just Native people, but our ancestors signed them with their ancestors. Mm-hmm. That makes us all treaty people. And so we go out and we educate people on why treaties matter. And we like to spoon feed non-Native people on how to be better treaty people. And we actually have 15 action steps they can take moving past the land acknowledgement. Land acknowledgements are important, but taking action is even better. You know, words can be lost in the wind, and we can't have that no more. We really need to lean in and take action. So I'm there to teach people that.
That's awesome. So we, my Hinu, and I don't know if you've met Jaleesa, that's my daughter. And, so no nepotism here. Ho-wah. But we're talking a little bit about local government and what's happening here with our relatives with healthcare, and also nationally with what's happening now with our relatives in LA with now Trump's bringing Marines there. And this is all just smoke and mirrors. And I think it's leading up to the 2026 election where he's going to go martial law and do bad things.
Right. You know, and that is scary. You know, I thought about that too. And it's so hard to jump on social media when you have this coming in all directions. And, mm-hmm. and what do we, Anishinaabe people? Well, we remind ourselves that one, we're still here and we're not going to go away, and that we are resilient, and we need to band together, come out of those comfort zones and provide support to each other. It doesn't mean we're asking people to come out and be on a radio show or get on a microphone or take action. It's just sometimes just showing up with your bodily person and saying, I'm here out of love. And so I think it's important that our people understand what's at stake here. I, you know, believe that people are discouraged with both parties right now. And I think, you know, as Anishinaabe people, we need to work really close with the DFL and remind them what they can do better to, you know, help us help them, because it's the treaties that protect all of us. And those treaties were intended for us to live in peace as neighbors and to leave the earth in a better way than we found it. And collectively, we're not doing a very good job at that. And just informing people of why those treaties matter and how they protect all of us is really inspiring to those non-Native people to lean in and want to learn more and be better treaty people. So I think people really need to lean in on their DFL, their local chapters, and really encourage them to pay more attention to why our votes do matter, because they do matter. And I was a DFL delegate to the state convention this last was that last year? I'm losing track of time. Yeah, I was an uncommitted delegate because of what's going on in Gaza, and the mm-hmm. DFL party kind of treated us in differently, and I didn't really appreciate that. So I kind of withdrew myself. And what's really disheartening right now is that not one DFL from my local organizing unit has called me up and said, Nancy, what happened? What's going on? And if they really cared about us, and they would had called and said, what can we do to make this right? Mm-hmm. And because they haven't done that doesn't mean I'm going to give up on it. Right.
Mm-hmm.
I can't. Because right now we're in trouble with the current administration. So honestly, I think more of our relatives need to run for office. We do need to get up vote even more so, even though we're not always happy with the outcomes or the candidates. But it's after those elections where we need to show up at town hall meetings. We need to write letters to our elected officials and remind them of what their job is, you know, as elected officials. And most of the time, I think when people check that box, they're done with everything. And we need more than that, Robert. We need participation.
We are, Nancy, as Native Americans, the resistance experts. We've been resisting for 500 years. So this is nothing new for us. And we just have to speak our truth and band together, like you said.
Right. You had to, you know, kill them with kindness and beat them down with the truth. And you always have to lead with love, Robert. And when you lead with love, you know, you build on that trust. And when there's trust, all those other teachings follow, you know. And I think if we can ground ourselves and remind ourselves of who we are and be resilient again. And I think there's so much potential for us as Anishinaabe, but we just need to get there first. You know, we can't give up. Our ancestors didn't fight for that.
Absolutely. Hey, we got like a minute left. Is there any way you can hold on again, excuse me, for another segment? I'd like to talk a little bit about those 15 ways, if you don't mind. And then when Dr. Stately pops in, if he does, then we can let you go, because I know that car is a little hot. Well, thanks, Nancy. Hey, this is Native Roots Radio, and we're here with Jaleesa McKee, Robert Pilot, and Nancy Bolio. We'll be right back after this short message.
Stay with us. Thanks, Nancy.
With You're listening to the Eagle, WLCX. La Crosse is home for Matt and Air on Air.
ABC News, I'm Stephanie Officer. In Harvey Weinstein's retrial in New York, the judge received a letter from the jury foreperson today that said, quote, "I need to talk to you about a situation that isn't very good." Weinstein has pleaded not guilty to all charges, ABC's Aaron Katursky.
After sending that note to the judge, he brought in the foreperson who told the judge that jurors were attacking one another and bringing up Harvey Weinstein's past. The judge brought all the jurors together, said they needed to be cordial and only discuss the evidence. They'll be back for a fourth day of deliberations in Harvey Weinstein's sex crimes retrial.
A Connecticut judge has settled a bitter feud over the estate of the late blues guitarist Johnny Winter, ordering his managers to pay $226,000 in damages for improper payments they received after his 2014 death and rejecting their claim to the rights to his music. This is ABC News.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Brewers baseball tonight. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports, where the Brewers open a series against the Atlanta Braves in Milwaukee. The Crew losing a close one yesterday, 1-0 to the San Diego Padres. Freddie Peralta allowed just one hit, no runs, through six innings, 90 pitches, and thought about going back out in the seventh.
For 1 second, I was thinking about it to come back, but at the same time, we took the decision that it was good enough for the day and just to bring somebody else.
So Rob Zastrzynski took over in the seventh, and Manny Machado knocked one out of the park on him. That was the ball game. Brewers manager Pat Murphy.
I mean, it was a decision that, you know, we had to talk to Freddie first, see how he felt. He was out of gas. Could we have pushed him into it? I'm sure he would have done it for us. But you don't do that this time of the year.
NFL. The Packers have decided to release defensive back Jair Alexander. The team asking Alexander to take a pay cut, in part because he's missed half the games the last two seasons. The defensive back was scheduled to make $17 million this season. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Peach Wabba. The 2025 Tonys are in the books, and the big winner from Sunday night's event was Maybe Happy Ending. The production, a love story about two abandoned robots, was named Best Musical and brought in six other awards as well. According to Variety, the play struggled to find an audience until the reviews came in. Similar to the moving picture box office, the theater industry seems to be back on track following the pandemic, with $1.89 billion in ticket sales, which is a record. Brendan Jacobs Jenkins became only the third playwright to win Tonys in consecutive years with this year's Purpose, a hilarious look at a civil rights leader's dysfunctional family, which won Best Play. Other highlights from the evening include Succession's Sarah Snook, who was named Best Leading Actress in a Play for The Picture of Dorian Gray. And in sad Tony news that really isn't that sad, George Clooney was a bridesmaid for Best Performance by a Leading Actor in Good Night and Good Luck. Still nice to be nominated, or so I'm told. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Peach Wabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. An isolated shower or two this evening, then a clearing sky tonight, and a low in the mid-50s. For tomorrow, hazy sunshine from a little smoke, warmer, highs into the low 80s. Chances for showers and thunderstorms return Wednesday into Thursday. Currently, it's 66.
Carmelo Anthony for The Bail Project.
Bad news, you've been arrested. Good news, you're innocent until proven guilty. If you can pay your bail, good news, you go home to wait your trial. If you can't, sorry, you go to jail to wait. But sure, you still presume innocent. But since you can't afford bail, you've lost your freedom. That's not right. And that's why the Bail Project helps those who can't afford it while fighting the in-cash bail. Because freedom should be free.
Brought to you by the Ad Council.
The Todd Allbaugh Show.
State's Eric Kelder Royce.
The vast majority of people on Medicaid are already working, and it is Medicaid that makes it possible for them to work. People who are disabled or have chronic illnesses and without that health care, they would be out of the workforce. They would have no ability to participate in the economy, and now they can. Medicaid is one of the greatest workforce programs this country has ever built, and they are trying to dismantle it, and with it, they're going to take people's lives and economic security.
The Todd Allbaugh Show. Weekdays 2 to 4 on your local Civic Media radio station. And on the app, Pat Kreitlow.
On Tuesday, Civic Media's Dan Schaefer from the recombobulation area on what Democrats are talking about ahead of next weekend's big state convention.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays 6 to 9
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Aneen, I'm Lieutenant Governor Peggy Flanagan, and you are listening to Native Roots Radio.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
Hey, this portion of the show is supported by Native American Community Development Institute, or NACDI, in Minneapolis.
Yes, it is. Thank you there, Hinu. Hey, Hinu means first daughter, and I have my first daughter on, so I'm proud as could be. My buttons are ripping out here. Hey, we're here with Nancy Bolio, our friend, and Nancy just checked out here for a second with her camera. But Nancy, can you hear us okay?
Yeah, I think my camera's on. Oh, yeah.
It's on now. Yep, it sure is. Welcome back. Hey, great to see you. Great to have you back on. You know, one of the things that you brought up a little earlier was that that you gave these synopsises on treaties. And I was wondering if you could talk about a few of those 15 points that you talked about. It's really interesting. And I always like when you're on and talk about treaties that it's a two-way street. And sometimes we forget that. And that's always good to know or bring up.
Right. And, you know, most importantly, those are one of the most important things you can do is have conversations with non-Native peoples and educate them how they too are treaty people. And some of our people will think that, well, no, those are our treaties. But in reality, our ancestors signed them with their ancestors. And that makes us two parties to an agreement, making us all treaty people. So we need to be clear about that. And so we need to also educate ourselves on that, as well as, you know, just not only educating the non-Native people, but I think just, again, breathing life back into treaties by living, you know, the Anishinaabe way. I'm not saying you have to give up all the modern day conveniences, but let's get more into our cultural practices and holding spaces and places that we're not really comfortable holding space in. Because when we're not there holding space, like saying that sugar bush, well, we're going to log it out because you guys aren't out there sugar bushing anyway. We need to go back there. And, you know, it's not just because of that. It brings that healing and it leads to that resilient piece again that I'm talking about. So I think it's important that we breathe life back into those treaties as Anishinaabe people. And, you know, for our non-Native people, they actually need to elect judges and officials, you know, from the city to the state to the federal government. People that are running that support us as Anishinaabe, that understand why treaties matter, and we need to move past that lip service, that land acknowledgement, and finding ways that we can move past that. Because, you know, again, at the DFL convention, they had a beautiful land acknowledgement, but it was empty. It was nothing more. They didn't even have our flags up there. No, nothing. And so, of course, I had to ask for what do they call that, personal point of privilege to speak on the floor, and I spoke to that, and then Ken Martin come call me afterward and says, hey, we need to talk more. And I said, you really need to listen more. So yeah, and you know, it's frustrating at times, but no matter how frustrating it is, Robert, we can't just give up or roll over and figure it out later or think somebody else is going to do it. It's really on the people to make change happen. It's within ourselves. And I can't express that enough. And we need to step out of our comfort zones. And sometimes we have to sacrifice things. And sometimes that might mean even going to jail for one night, but that ain't nothing compared to the pain that our ancestors went through to protect everything that would help us today. So,
right.
Yeah. So I think it's important that people understand that, you know, we really need to get out there and be a part of the stuff that's out there right now, because it's gray outside today.
Yeah. Hey, so at the Capitol this Saturday, I believe on the 14th, 50-51 is putting on another rally. And I know last time I was there, I couldn't find a place to park, and I had secret parking places to go to the Capitol, and they were all taken up, and it was amazing. So just giving that a shout out too. People need to go out there, and they are going out there and speaking right. their truth.
Right. And you know, it's people don't understand too. Oh, well, it's just a rally, but you know what? Sometimes that's what ignites that fire within ourselves to say, hey, I want to do more than this. And so it's a way to meet other people that are feeling the same way as you. Yeah. It might lead to a conversation that could, you know, lead to further actions. And it's a good way to build community. And we find strength in numbers, because when you stand together, you don't stand alone. Right, Robert?
Absolutely. When we're used to that, and we've experienced together, Nancy, a lot of action, whether it was Line 3, which, you know, or Standing Rock, and we have to be there for the ones that can't be there too, because we know, we understand that people have children and jobs and things like that. We don't want them to take it up, but it's up to us that have time and the availability to step in.
Right. And, you know, even if a person has children or, you know, a lot of things going on, they can actually have a family conversation to say, collectively, how can we participate as a family? And who wants to take care of the kids when so-and-so has to go? Who can keep track of our households and take care of our pets while we're gone? Because for me, that was a big part of me going to Standing Rock, having that conversation with my family, saying, hey, they need my help, but I can't just leave my home neither. So I had my family helping me out with my young children at the time, feeding my kitties and all that good stuff. So when I went on the front line, I didn't have to worry about the home front, because I knew my family cared enough to take care of that, so we can be out there doing what we need to do. So I think families need to start kind of collectively working together too, and how they can help each other to help everything else. Mm-hmm.
You know, you're not supposed to have a favorite, and I don't, but I know one of your children just got a major degree. I just saw that on Facebook, and congratulations. I don't know if you want to speak to that, but education's power.
It is. My daughter, Katie Northbird, just graduated from the University of Minnesota Duluth with her master's in social science, and she's also an honor student. And, you know, I want to say congratulations to all the graduates out there, not just my daughter.
Yeah.
I just actually had coffee with her and Arnold Dahl of Two-Spirit Advocacy here in Bemidji, and it was such a great time to get together. We were only trying to be together for like an hour, and it ended up to be 3 hours, and not a good time. And you know, I encourage our people to educate themselves, and it's not, you know, a colonized form of education. It actually, we need these skill sets for our own communities, you know, because we have those same issues as non-Native communities, and we're told more often than not that we don't have the skill sets or education to make decisions for ourselves. But the more educated we are, we show them that we can do that. So that's why education is important. And I encourage people to do just that. And I graduated from college myself, and it wasn't easy because I was a single parent. I was told by my social county worker at the time that I couldn't graduate college. There was too many barriers. I left crying. But you know what? I took that word barriers and I put challenges, and I challenged myself, and I did graduate from college.
Yes. Yes.
And I did it for my kids and for my community, and to prove her wrong.
Yes.
That's awesome. That is awesome. Well, we only got a few more minutes, and Nancy, I know I'm keeping you longer than I promise, and my nose is growing like Pinocchio right now, but I appreciate you coming on, and I always like to, Wendy always says this, ask them what they want to talk about. So I want to give you the floor and what you'd like to talk about. And I know we've talked about a lot of things that you want to talk about now, but you're such a good speaker, and I know I miss you at rallies. I miss those things, and I'm glad to see that your group. Maybe talk a little bit more about your new group.
That's exactly what I wanted to talk about.
Oh, what?
Yeah, so our acronyms are EOA, Ndaji Onji Anishinaabe, We Young, and again, that's translates to where the Anishinaabe go to be themselves. So the idea with our org is to breathe life back into those treaties, assert ourselves in ceded territory, and be Anishinaabe. And that's not a crime. It's a crime to deny those rights. And we got to remind our non-Native people why that's a crime. But again, we're going to do cultural things. We're actually working on a community garden right now, and we're really excited about that. We're actually getting ready for next year's sugar bush by putting some thought into it. We're getting our supplies ready. We're scouting for our sugar bush this fall. We're actually going to do a berry camp this summer. And, you know, Robert, I like to grow berries, but we're going to go out in the wild and pick some too. So,
yeah, you do.
Yeah. We're also going to be doing a treaty summit here in Beltrami County. And we're going to send out the invites to our city council, the county commissioners, the tribal, the Red Lake, White Earth, and Leech Lake, our law enforcement, you know, the city and the sheriff's department. And the good news is, Robert, many of them are already on board to be better treaty people, but it's important that we educate them and why those treaties matter and how collectively as treaty people we move forward to protect this almighty space where the headwaters, you know, kind of starts from. So we're in a critical environment here. We're the headwaters for the Mississippi. We have to really protect that because it starts here, it flows. But so again, we're going to do the summit, and you know, Robert, we're going to frontline if we have to.
Yeah, I like to hear that. I have time. I'm in another few weeks. I will not be a Ho-Chunk legislator, so I'll have time as long as I have Wi-Fi. Oh, wow.
Yeah, we'll be broadcasting live from the front lines, Robert. So I actually bought me a 1988 camper. It's 23 feet long. And the last 2 years, I've been giving it love on the side. So I've taken the 88 out of it. And I call it my runaway grandma camper because I am a baby and I am a grandma. But honestly, if we have to frontline, I'm going to do it in the comfort of my little 23-foot camper because I'm getting too old for those little skinny cots. But we will frontline if we need to, Robert. And what concerns me the most is those pardons that Trump had given to those Gen 6 rioters.
Right.
So now when you're thinking about frontline, there's, you know, you got to be careful out there.
Yeah.
So we're going to need our people more and more. And I'm not trying to scare anybody, but it's the reality of what has to be talked about. And so anyway, I want to, before my time's up, let people know that we're on the verge of launching our website. And I'm really excited because it's a really neat webpage, and it's going to talk about the things that we're going to share and offer and how you guys can join and be a part of who we are. So we're going to onboard some of these listeners and people in our community. And so just watch out for that, Robert. And I will let you know when we're ready to do that, so we can make that announcement here on Native Roots Radio.
Hey, let's get you back on once a week. What do you say, Nancy?
Thumbs up to that, Robert.
There we right go. On.
Right on. Hey, this is Native Roots Radio, and we'll be right back after this short break. Jaleesa, oh,
stay with us.
Thanks, Nance.
Signing up for $1 bus and train rides with the Transit Assistance Program, or TAP, is quick and easy. Do it straight from your computer or phone by uploading one of the pre-approved documents listed at metrotransit.org/TAP, along with a copy of your ID. We'll mail you a 2-go card with a full year of discounted rides. For questions or translation help, call 612-373-3333. 612-373-3333.
Your heart beats for generations. Take care of it.
There's a lot that we can do to take care of ourselves. And so I think it's important to take the smaller steps and break it down into more manageable pieces, because the little steps leads to big changes.
Every beat of your heart tells a story of love, resilience, and hope. For Indigenous women, taking care of your heart means creating more moments with the ones you cherish. Let's protect that story. Learn more at hennepin.us/heart-beats.
Do you have a personal financial goal like buying a car, starting a business, saving for college, or investing for retirement? Whatever your goal is, you need a plan. It might seem overwhelming, but like physical fitness, you can gradually improve your financial health step by step. Start by creating a spending plan, improving your credit score, opening a bank account, or finding a trusted advisor. Not sure where to start? Visit mn.gov/commerce/money for more.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
Hey, let's bring this portion of the show. We'd like to bring awareness to the Minnesota wolf population. Say no to the hunts.
Oh! No! No! I howl like, no, no. Hey, Jaleesa, great to have you on. Wow, Nancy was on fire. It's great to have her back, and hopefully she can come on once a week again. She's always been a great guest over the 9 years that we've been on, and this is our ninth season, which amazes me. I was a young man when I started this. Oh, wow.
Yeah, that's really cool. It's so cool to hear that spark in her from Standing Rock was a similar, you know, story, and just what she's been doing and her new endeavor is just amazing.
Yeah, there's they talk about the eighth fires, the seventh fires, and that's what happened. It spread all over. And I mean, I think there's things that have happened, a resurgence of Native movies, Native television, mainstream, like Reservation Dogs. There was Rutherford Falls and those things kind of happened too. People were opened up about Native Americans again.
That's so true. It's exciting to see just even in mainstream, you know, Dark Winds, shout out to Rihanna, who's a writer on the show. I mean, we could talk about so many shows just in Hollywood now that have come up. And then I think what's extra exciting is we're able to kind of take it to the next level of, okay, let's not just have authentic Native actors be portraying these Native roles. Let's actually get them into the writing and into the director roles, right? So I think that's
really
been that
point.
Wave, which is exciting to see, but obviously still a long way to go. But hey, you're right. It's really opened up a lot for Native people. And even like we talk about like Native TikTok, you know, just things like that, where it's like, it's just really cool to see.
You know, that reminds me too, I'm going to change the subject just a little bit, but Jace Rowe, who you went to school with,
he is
going to be, we're going to do a live show at Pride, and Jace and Dr. Stately will be there, and along with Wendy and I, and you're, of course, you're invited to, we'll do a broadcast with those guys, and Jace is blown up on TikTok.
Yeah, really cool. Yes, he and I had classes together, we become counselors, and talk about an amazing person, you know, that I was studying with, and what passion and resilience, you know, I saw just being around them. So it was great.
Yeah, definitely. So you as an actor, you see all these things happening, whether it's documentaries about Leonard Peltier. I see ones coming out by Indian Collective, where the day that he was released and what led up to that. So I'm excited to see that. But there's a voice, and there's people, not only, like you said earlier, creating projects, but in projects. And I know you're in some projects too, and have been. And you mentioned Rihanna, Yazzie, and Dark Winds. We're lucky to have her here in Minnesota with New Native Theater.
Yes, yes. I mean, she founded New Native Theater in 2008 and started that. And then, you know, but not only is she such an impactful playwright, actor, director, artist, you know, she's really paving her own way in Hollywood and different places like that. And then, you know, she even wrote and directed her own musical over in DC. So, I mean, it's great to have that example here. You know, she's Navajo, so she's from down south, but she's just really made an impact in the Native community here in Minneapolis and St. Paul. So,
yeah. And one of the things I like to bring up too, you know, with the stereotype of Native Americans, when we talk about Native artists, for instance, a painter, people are expecting, hey, that's, you know, throw a teepee in there and a wolf and an eagle. And it's like, we're more than that. We can play all these different parts. We can paint all, just like anybody else, we could paint a bridge and it's still Native art.
Right. Absolutely. I think that's such a good point. I think there's just such a universal lack of understanding of what makes a person Indigenous and what makes people Native to this land and our different tribes and our different, you know, ways of life. And it's just, you know, I recall the first play I did with New Native Theater. And I remember someone standing up and saying, thank you so much at the end of the show when we were doing a talk back. And he said, this is the first Native play that I didn't see all these stereotypes, like you're saying, slap the teepee on and call it Native. And it was just people being people, and it was just Native people being Native people. It was written by, shout out to the playwright Keith Barker of Toronto. So we just were people in that show, and that show was a tough show to do, but I'm so grateful for that. And, you know, the taboo of teen suicide and what some Native people have gone through. And, you know, we went for it. So, but we didn't have those stereotypes, like you're saying.
Yeah, definitely. You played a person that lost someone to suicide and struggling with your husband about that, which is a real deal.
Yep. Yeah. The play centered around a teen suicide, and it was called This Is How We Got Here. And it was basically the grief and loss process that the mother, who I played, Lucille, and the father and the aunt and uncle the grief and loss. Yeah. Yeah.
Totally affected. And that's a real deal. And it isn't all about smoke and feathers. Ho-wah. I always want to say that.
Exactly. Yeah, the feather and it's just, I think people really just generalize so much when they don't understand. So I think it's important for us to educate, and it's important for us to answer questions and just, you know, just get out there. I know it's not our job to educate people, but at the same time, I try to take on those opportunities as much as I can. Right. And I mean, that's what this show is doing, right? Platforms like this.
Yeah, we're definitely trying. You know, one of the things too that we have comments on here, and I just want to switch. We have 2 minutes left of the show, but I just wanted to switch. Nina, one that listens to our show all the time, said 1/6 of the rioters are unidentified ICE, and that's you know, putting people in there. We're talking about LA again, and you know, and. Somebody mentioned too that some of the people that might be in ICE are the people that President Trump pardoned, but I don't know that for sure, but I wouldn't put it past him. And so that's just crazy. We have to, you know, end the show here and send out prayers to Turtle Island, to our Indigenous relatives, and to LA. They're fighting back, and just like Minneapolis did a few days ago, fighting back against ICE. And that's what we have to do. We need to resist, divest, join a group, run for office, and vote. And say that at the end of every show, but I believe it's so much more, you know, absolutely. Because that's the way we got to do it, Jaleesa.
Yep, that's right. I saw a quote from somebody that said, there are no riots, there are no clashes, there are unarmed community members defending their friends and family against mass militants who are targeting immigrants at work in their homes while they are at immigration appointments. So while a lot of these people are in the process of doing things legally, they're still getting taken away.
Exactly. Hey, great show, Jaleesa. Thanks for co-hosting this and doing your thing.
Thanks for having me, buddy.
this is really fun. We're getting close. Even though we're in different places, I feel like I'm closer to you.
This is the talk of La Crosse, Eagle 1490 AM. Maggie Dawn.
I'll be slinging drinks at a charity bartending event, but don't worry, you'll be in good hands with special host Angela Lang, joined by Dan Schaefer and Matt Rothschild. Don't miss it.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
I love playing sports, especially for my school. And that's because school sports are special. It's where it's safe to fail. It's where we're taught resilience, where our fear becomes confidence. It's where we learn to get back up after every fall. School sports are where 7.8 million students go from I can't to I can.
This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app. Soaring high above La Crosse, this is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Stephanie Officer. A salmonella outbreak has sickened dozens. California-based August Egg Company recalling 1.7 million Brown organic and Brown cage-free eggs distributed across 9 different states. ABC's Rebecca Jarvis.
Prices have come down a lot. The cost right now of a dozen eggs is about $2.63. And the good news here is 1.7 million, almost 2 million eggs, is relatively small compared to the total eggs we produce. Shouldn't drive prices much higher unless it gets to be a bigger recall.
Massachusetts health officials confirming at least 10 cases of botulism connected to a single health spa. It is suspected that Rodrigo Beauty in Milton was administering Botox injections without a license. Dr. Todd Ellerin, an infectious disease physician in Boston.
I'm not sure that there's ever been more than 10 iatrogenic Botox botulism cases in an individual state in the United States. This is super rare for any state.